Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
So you might have heard that there have been reports of late of insurance companies who are refusing to offer mortgage protection to people who've had COVID. But what exactly is mortgage protection? Who does it protect and how can you get the best deal available? For more on this now, I'm joined by financial planner Owen McGee. Good morning, Owen.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. Thanks for joining us this morning. So will you talk to us about mortgage protection? Let's talk first of all about the links between that are being established between COVID and mortgage protection and what the insurance companies are doing and saying.
So whenever a life company looks at you for insurance purposes, what they're doing is they're doing a risk assessment. They're trying to figure out what's the chances of you dying in most cases. Are you going to die? And are you going to die while you're on cover with them? And what they have been doing in recent times is they've been saying, OK, if you're in one of the high risk categories of people who could suffer particularly badly with COVID or potentially die as a result of COVID, they're not refusing you. But what they're saying is we're going to hold off and just wait and see. So it's what's called a postponement. So come back to us in a couple of months. And that's what's been happening. And it's been very difficult for people because it means that their life cover has been refused. And in a lot of cases, it means your mortgage then getting refused.
Well, that's now, it. And often, this is often the last piece of the jigsaw or close to it when you're drawing down your mortgage. You've agreed to buy a house, you've done your deal with the bank, and then you fall at the last hurdle.
And it is the last piece. Like, you've already fallen in love with the house. You've already, the thing that you thought was going to be the problem was getting the mortgage approval. Yeah. You've got your deposits, maybe help to buy. And you're probably going like online at the moment and buying stuff for the bathroom and everything. You're completely emotionally attached to this thing. And you almost get the life cover sorted out and you get to put it through. And there's a problem then. Now, there is good news on this. Like on the 16th of March, there was one company came out, and I'm not going to give them a plug, but there was one company who came out and said, right, we're back to pre-COVID. Underwriting. So it's as if COVID isn't there. We're back to business as usual. The other companies who had been postponing people, if you've got your vaccination and you were in a high-risk category and you've now got your vaccination, they are looking at you again and they're underwriting again. And then people who've had COVID and they're one month symptom-free are now back in the cards again to look at them.
So with every company, just the people who've had COVID, just talk to me about those.
So people who have had COVID, if you're a month symptom-free and you're over COVID, they're treating you the same way as if you were vaccinated.
Okay.
So they're saying, right, we're okay, you've recovered from it, and we're good again.
And then on mortgage protection, you have to have mortgage protection in order to draw down that money.
You absolutely don't have to, but like it's very, very rare that a bank won't put a condition on your loan offer. And there are some legal things about signing a waiver, and people might text in and say you're allowed to sign a waiver. Most of the time, I'm talking about most of the time, banks will insist that you have life cover. Because think about it from the bank's perspective. They're looking at it and saying there's two things that can happen here. Either the house will burn to the ground and you won't bother paying your mortgage back and they make you take out home insurance, or you'll die and you won't be able to pay your mortgage on a month-to-month basis because your salary is gone, so they'll ask you to take out life cover. Now, it's kind of strange. At a time when COVID was causing issues for the insurance companies, the banks were really tightening their restrictions. There was one bank that was well known out there that would let you sign a waiver at the drop of a hat. Oh yeah, we get your mortgage across, you don't have to have life cover. They've completely tightened up in recent months. And then there are other companies who, like, let's face it, this is an issue. The COVID thing has been an issue, and this people's hearts have been absolutely broken as a result of it. And at a time like this, when you can see light at the end of the tunnel, you would have hoped that they would turn around and say, okay, have you got any cover in work? Have you got any cover anywhere else that we could use to kind of bridge the gap for the moment? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying people should be going into a mortgage with no life cover. Like, they need to have life cover. But in these times, particularly when people were so close to the line, I would have hoped that the banks would have just been a little bit more flexible where they could.
All right, I want to talk about the different types of cover. Mortgage protection, which we've mentioned, just explain exactly what that does if you need it.
So mortgage protection is typically what we call a reducing balance type of policy. So what it means is you borrow €200,000 today from the bank. Next year, you might owe them 196, and the year after 190 or whatever way the numbers come down. And what happens with the life cover on this is it comes down in line with it. And it's the cheapest form of life cover. So it comes down. So the amount that the life policy will pay out will only ever be enough to clear off the mortgage
So if you die, this policy will clear the mortgage.
we'll clear the mortgage, exactly. And that's the minimal that the banks will look for. That's the thing that they will say, yeah, we want that at least. Now, you can take a step up from that and you can say, you know what I'll do? I'll take out, again, to take that example, I take 200,000 cover, and it's what's called a level term policy. And you can take out 200,000 cover. As you owe the bank less and less, the life company will still pay out the full 200,000 euros if you die. And let's say you only owe the bank 150 when you die. The bank will get their 150 and your family or your estate will get the other 50,000 extra. It's a little bit more expensive, but some people would see it's worthwhile. And then the next step up again from that is where you do what's called increasing cover. So you start at 200,000 and each year it goes up in line with inflation. So the mortgage is coming down, but the amount of cover you have is going up. And again, some people have a trade-off there.
I was just going to say that lots of people, you know, will look at this and go, well, as long as the mortgage is paid off when I die, my family will be okay because they'll own the house. But you would say that mightn't be enough.
Let's twist that around a second. What you're actually saying there is, if I die, the bank are grand. But the family aren't grand. Like, think about it this way. Imagine you're on, let's try and keep the math simple for my head just because we're live, right? But if you're on 100,000 euros a year and you've got 20 years to go to retirement, you have 2 million euros worth of income. Forget about inflation and pay rises. If you've 200,000 euros worth of income that you haven't earned yet, that's what we call your human capital. Now, are you telling me that the 1,000 euros a month that you're paying out on the mortgage being gone is going to mean that the family aren't going to be without that 2 million euro and they're going to be grand? Mm-hmm. Like, you need to think about protecting the family as well as what we all do, which is protect the bank. And the easiest thing to do is take your salary right now, forget about inflation, forget about pay rises, take what you're earning right now and multiply it by the number of years you have left in your working life. And that gives you an idea of what your human capital is. And then start looking at things like, what do I have in work? Sometimes people have in work like 2x salary or 4x salary if they died. That's great. But if you have 20 years left in your career or 30 years left in your career, 4x salary, even allowing for the tax and everything else, you still have a big chunk of salary that the family are going to do without. And how are they going to survive financially without that?
So if you can afford it, then if you can pay something beyond the bare minimum, which is the mortgage protection, what should you be doing?
So what I would suggest is give the cheapest of the cheap to the bank. Right, the bank need reducing balance cover. That's the cheapest of the cheap. Go for it, give that to them. Their box is ticked, they're sorted, your mortgage protection is fine. Then sit down, work out your human capital, or better still, and I know I'm a financial planner and I would say that, but get somebody to look at it for you. Look at it and say, okay, how much would the family be down? How much expenses would like, we tend to spend 25, you know, granted different levels of salary would be different numbers, but roughly we spend about 25 of our own salary on ourselves. Your family won't have to pay for yourself anymore. You're not there anymore. So you can get someone to do a proper calculation for you to say, right, this is how much cover you actually need. And they can look at the other things and the savings and other things that you might have and take it all into account. But don't just tick a box and say, you know what, let's get the bank sorted out. And don't tick the box where you say, this is a time, I know you have a lot going on, but lots of people say, oh, I'll get into the house, I'll get myself sorted out, and I'll look at all that maybe next year. Nobody looks at the next year.
But that's what we all do. Well, everyone except you.
Yeah, that's why I have a job, Claire. Yeah. That's where it comes from. Thankfully, I'm here to remind everyone to keep doing it. Now, if you have a bit more money and even if you're saying, right, you know what, I'm going to just do it all next year. And let's say you didn't listen to Owen and Claire talking about this today and you're saying, we're going to do it next year. You can put your money into things like specified endless cover. You can put your money into things like income protection. Now, you can do specified endless cover. What this pays out, it pays out a lump sum, typically to pay off the mortgage in full, right? But it pays out a lump sum if you get diagnosed with one of a list of specified illnesses. Now, these things are typically cancer, heart attack, stroke. They represent about 75% of all claims. Interestingly enough, female claims are about 75% of them are for cancer. Male claims are about 2/3 of male claims would be for heart-related issues. And they pay out a lump sum and the mortgage is gone completely. Now, you can do that. And like, just to give you an idea here, a 40-year-old couple looking for 100,000 worth of cover, life cover on its own if they're non-smokers, life cover on its own is about 18 euro. But if you did life and serious illness cover, specified illness cover, sorry, if you did life and specified illness cover, it'd be about 80 euros a month. So, and that's a reducing balance policy
for the
and you
couple.
Clear off the mortgage. Yes, for the couple. So, and you're 5x more likely to claim the specified illness cover than you are the life cover during the term of your mortgage. So if you're going to do nothing else, look at taking out the specified illness cover along with it, because at least the mortgage will be gone when you've got, if something happens, if anyone dies when you get sick, the mortgage will be gone.
Yeah, it's not very cheery, is it? Sort of, you know, picking out a selection of illnesses that you might succumb to.
Yeah, it's not cheery at all, but it's also not cheery at the other end, because I've had to do that too.
Yes,
where,
yes.
Where there's no cover in place.
I absolutely understand that. Now, I have a couple of queries in from people. How much salary should I save every month as a percentage? I'm single, I'm in my early 30s, I've got a car loan, and 15% of my income is going into a pension.
Okay, so if you can put the pension to one side because you've got used to that, you'll be really ahead of everybody else. The general rule of thumb I have is if you save 10% of your wages or whatever your take-home pay is, if you save 10%, you're going to cover the emergencies. 15%, you're going to start to get ahead, and 20% plus, and you really start to create wealth. And the reason why I like to use percentages on it is because it's relative then to everybody. So just to put that in real perspective, if you have €1,000 a month take home pay, to keep the math simple, 100, you're covering the basics, 150 a month, and you're now starting to get ahead, and €200 a month or more, and you're really plowing ahead. And this person's already used to putting 15% into salary. So if they can try and add this onto it, it would make a huge difference.
Where do you put the money?
Depends when you're going to use it. If you're going to use it in the short term, so if you're going to use it in less than 5 years, you need to put it into a bank account and just put up with the rates that you're going to get. The interest rates are awful.
They're terrible.
If you're going to put it in, if you're not going to use it for 5 years or more, well, then you can start doing long-term investments and turning up the risk a little bit. People don't need to get scared here, but you turn up the risk a little bit. And I'm talking about things like shares and bonds. And I would always talk about the no-brainer 60-40 portfolio. And that just is a very simple, straightforward way of doing it if you're not getting advice. And then if you're going longer term again, the best of all, the one that excites the financial planner in me is the pension. And you need to start driving into pension if you're happy that you're not going to need that money until you retire.
Okay, so maybe that's the advice, if that chap can afford to increase the 15% he's putting into the pension.
Yeah, it depends what age he is. You're allowed to put up to 40% of your salary into pension, but you have to be over 60 for that. And it's on a tiered basis beyond that. Okay. 15, 20, 25, 30 euro, and all the way up.
All right. If you're approved for a mortgage, says this listener, is it a once-off payment? If you're approved for mortgage protection, is it a once-off payment, or can you pay it monthly? And if so, is it a monthly for the life of the mortgage? Is there any benefit to doing it in a particular way?
No, so it is a monthly contribution, and I would say 99% of people would pay it on monthly. Some people would pay it annually, but no, monthly is the way it comes out. And it's one of the things actually that people get caught out on. You know, when you do your home insurance and you get renewal letters once a year to say it's up for renewal and the premium's changed. With life cover, the premium typically will stay the same. It might go up in line with inflation if you go with one of those increased policies or indexed policies I was talking about earlier, right? But in general, it's the same. There's no renewal. You do get a letter once a year to remind you what you have. But there's no, if you've taken out mortgage protection, particularly if you took it out directly with the bank that you got your mortgage with, you are allowed to move it. And you will probably, people are living longer, so it's getting much cheaper. So I would suggest people should be regularly checking these things to see if they can get them any cheaper.
Now, this listener says, should you be paying life cover if you have no mortgage? This person is married with no children.
Yeah, well, it depends how much they like their partner, their spouse. If they want their spouse to have a few bob when they die, yeah, they should. But to be honest with you, if both in that couple are working and the other person is going to be okay financially and is going to continue to work and they've no mortgage, you might be wasting your money, but it's very hard to know with just that much information. And I'm not a believer in paying for these things if you don't need them. You pay for them if you need them, but absolutely, there's much better things you can do with your money than pay for life cover.
And this thing called income protection, do you think that's something that we all need?
Yes, big time. So income protection is slightly different to specified illness cover. Specified illness cover pays you a big lump sum. Income protection pays you your wage. It's typically 75% of your wage less the social welfare. And it pays you your wage when you're out of work sick, until either you go back to work or you retire, whichever happens first. And this is something that I would have personally, I had a big grow for it. My father had it. He stopped working at 50 years of age. He had nothing to do with the industry. And he was able to stop work because of his ill health. And I believe I got another 38 years out of my father passed away in December. But he was able to stop work and totally look after his health. He had a bad problem with his heart. And he was really able to look after his health because he had the income protection in place. Mm-hmm. So I'm a big believer in it. And I think it's something that's very important. And different to specified illness cover, you can get tax relief on your income protection. So it's a deductible expense from your wages and you can get tax relief on it.
Owen, thank you very much as always. Great advice there. That's Owen McGee, financial planner. Just some news that's coming in. The Irish Independent is reporting that the United States, France, Germany and Italy have been added to Ireland's new mandatory hotel quarantine list. And we'll bring you more on that before the end of the programme today.
Text
51551. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.